This morning we will be hearing from two passages of Scripture. The first is the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. And I will be reading from the Message translation, so if you are following along with your own Bible, it might be a little different. Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. Then Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and he set his people free. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives and in the very house of David, his servant, just as he promised long ago through the preaching of his holy prophets. Deliverance from our enemies and from every hateful hand. Mercy to our fathers as he remembers to do what he said he would do. What he swore to our father Abraham. A clean rescue from the enemy camp, so we can worship him without a care in the world, made holy before him as long as we live. And you, my child, prophet of the highest, will go ahead of our master to prepare the way. He will present the offer of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins through the heartfelt mercies of our God. God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one step at a time, down the path of peace." And the second reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. "I saw heaven and earth newly created. Gone was the first heaven, gone was the first earth, gone was the sea. I saw holy Jerusalem newly created, descending resplendent out of heaven, as ready for God as a bride is ready for her groom. I heard a voice, thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They are his people. He is their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears are gone. Crying is gone. Pain is gone. All the first order of things are gone." The one on the throne continued, "Look, look, I am making everything new. Write it down. Every word is dependable and accurate." And then he said, "It's happened. I am the A to Z. I am the beginning. I am the conclusion. From the water of life well, I give freely to the thirsty. Conquerors will inherit all of this. I will be God to them, and they will be sons and daughters to me." Keep your fork. Something good is coming. A promise is only as trustworthy and reliable as the promise giver. After all, would you trust somebody alone with a cookie jar if that particular someone was a big blue monster and was an unrepentant and certified cookie thief? Why did Charlie Brown never learn his lesson with Lucy? She would tell Charlie Brown to kick the football with the promise that she would not pull it away. However, whenever Charlie Brown would go to kick the football at the last second, Lucy would pull it away and Charlie Brown would find himself flat on his back. Promises are only trustworthy and reliable if the promise giver is trustworthy and reliable. A few moments ago, we heard from the Gospel of Luke, and we heard from Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. He was also a Jewish priest. The Jewish people had been waiting for 2,000 years for God to keep one of his promises. God had promised he would send a Messiah. The Messiah would deliver the people from their enemies. The Messiah would protect them. The Messiah would rebuild the broken relationship between God and his people. God had promised through the prophets a Messiah. And Zechariah was finally seeing God's promises coming true. I think most of us, when someone makes us a promise, we expect it to occur within a certain amount of time, not 2,000 years. But God kept his promises. God gave us a Messiah. And promises are only trustworthy and reliable if the promise giver is trustworthy and reliable. And although these exact words you will not find in your Bible, one of God's promises is this: keep your fork. Something good is coming. We also heard from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible. And in this book, we hear the last words that Jesus ever spoke in the Bible. And you might be asking yourself, well, what does that have to do with Advent? Advent is the season when we prepare for the birth of Christ, and you've already skipped to the end. Jesus hasn't even been born yet, and you've already told us the end of the story. Why would you do that? And the answer is simple. With God, the end is not always the end. Just when you think you've read the end of the story, just when you think the game is done, just when you think you've read the last sentence, with God, the end is not always the end. So keep your fork, because something good is coming. When Moses killed a man and hid in the wilderness, he thought it was the end. But with God, things are not always the end. When Isaiah saw God in a vision, Isaiah said to himself, "Oh crap, I'm in trouble. I'm not a clean man. I am done for. I am standing in the presence of God. It's over. I'm done. It's through." But with God, the end is not always the end. God had other plans for Isaiah. When Mary found out she was pregnant, she probably thought to herself, "My family's going to abandon me. Joseph's not going to believe me. My friends are going to desert me." But with God, the end is not always the end. Sometimes it's just the beginning of another story. In the Old Testament, when the people of Israel left Egypt and they wandered in the desert for 40 years, they took with them a tabernacle. The tabernacle was a physical structure. It was a tent. And this is where the presence of God dwelled. Wherever they went, God went. Whatever they experienced, God experienced. God was living among them. His presence was with them, and he would guide them, shape them, direct them, form them, forgive them, save them. Eventually, those people would drift away from God, and they would choose their own path. And the path would lead them far away from God, far away from who they were meant to be, far away from hope, far away from direction, far away from purpose, far away from strength, far away from peace. It led them down paths that were all a dead end. But with God, the end is not always the end. And God keeps his promises. God had promised a Messiah, and that promise was about to come true. The Messiah would be God's new tabernacle. God would live with his people, not in a tent, but as a human being. Wherever they would go, he would go. Whatever they experienced, he would experience. He would walk among them, guiding them, directing them, shaping them, forgiving them, leading them, saving them. We are still waiting for some of God's promises to come true. Jesus promised one day he's coming back. God said one day he will make everything right again. But for now, we rest in the assurance that the Messiah has come. The light has come. The Redeemer died on a cross, canceling our sins, and the Savior walked out of the grave, promising us new life, promising us forgiveness, and telling us that death has lost its sting. In the book of Revelation, we are told that God's home will be with his people, and he will be their God. There will be a time when there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more challenges, no more death. There will be a time when we thought it was the end, and it wasn't the end. So keep your forks, because something good is coming. There was a young woman who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and she had 3 months to live. So she made an appointment to see her minister, and they sat and they talked about her funeral service, what she wanted. And they talked about the hymns she wanted to have sung and the scriptures she wanted to have read. And just as they were about to wrap up the conversation, she said, "Pastor, there's one more thing, and this is very important." The pastor said, "Okay, what is it?" And she said, "When I'm in my casket, I want you to make sure there's a fork in my right hand." And he kind of looked at her, puzzled, and she continued, "I've been to a lot of dinner parties in my life. And always after dinner, someone would tell me, 'Keep your fork, because something good is coming.' It might have been an apple pie or a chocolate cake. I never knew what it was, but I always knew that something better was coming. And so when I'm laying in my casket and people ask you, 'What's with the fork?' I want you to tell them, 'She kept the fork because she knew something better was coming.'" I don't know all the challenges that all of you are facing this Advent season. I know for some of you, this will be the first Christmas without a loved one. Some of you may be struggling with a broken relationship, or you may just be plain struggling. You may be facing some challenges that you never expected, and you're not quite sure how you're going to get through those challenges. I don't want to be dismissive. I don't want to be unsensitive to what you're experiencing, but can I make a suggestion? Come to the manger. In the manger is God's proclamation that he loves us, and he's not given up on us yet. In the manger is God's promise that he will be with us even in the darkest night. In the manger is one who is going to die on a cross. His heart is going to stop beating. His lungs are going to stop breathing. His brain will be dead. But one day, 2 days, 3 days later, he's going to walk out of the grave and remind us that with God, the end is not always the end. Christmas is not always about what once happened. Sometimes Christmas is about what will happen. Because of Christ, God lives with us, and God lives within us. Because of Christ, someday there will be no more crying. There will be no more tears. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more tragedy. There will be no more death. I don't know when that day is coming. And I don't know what it's going to look like. But my friends, keep your fork, because something good is coming. Amen.